I'm just amused to the phrase shit pit.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 326, recorded on September 22nd, 2013. And welcome to the 326th edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and 159th episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am Jonah Falcon.
And I am Jordan Lund.
VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry. No gaming flashback and no gaming history yet again, but we do have Jordan back.
Hi, I'm back.
And back from the IV drip, I suppose.
I still have the IV drip. I've been doing the IV at home and... Yeah, that's been an adventure. I've been in and out of the hospital about 3 times last week, so it seems to be working today. So we'll see. I've got a follow up appointment tomorrow, and we'll see how that goes.
Do it yourself home care IV. Okay,
that is correct. Yes, it's an antibiotic push that I do myself every day. So, right.
Okay. Yep. So before I move on to game news, what have you been playing?
I picked up Diablo 3 for the PS3, okay. And I picked up Killzone Mercenary for the Vita, and I have hardly touched Killzone Mercenary. I have kind of been sucked into Diablo 3. My wife actually has been playing co-op with me and has instructed me that I cannot play Diablo 3 without her. So, yeah, it's been entertaining this week.
Okay.
We're up to Act 4, so, you know, we're making progress.
I never got past Act 1 because the PC version just let me down that much. But if you didn't know from last news, they're going to remove the auction houses, both real money and gold, from the PC version forever.
I don't think you're missing anything if they do that. You know, it seems to be a perfectly fine game without it.
But on the other hand, people are upset that Blizzard says that they won't be making an offline mode. You know, they basically said never, ever, 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 ever.
If you want to play it offline, you get the PS3 or Xbox version. Done.
Yeah, but some people don't want to play consoles. You see, that's the problem. You know. That's a lie though, because
those poor PC people can't handle that the console version's better yet again.
That's not true. Diablo 2, the PC version was far better than any console version. Oh wait, there was no console version. But the thing is that my point is that that's a lie, because you know at some point they're going to make Diablo 3 completely free and able to play without having to be online and all that, just like they did with Diablo 2. It's just going to take them like 10 years to do it. So, yeah. Anyways, what I've been playing is I finally got my hands on the NVIDIA Shield.
Yeah, that's a neat little gadget. I played with that at PAX.
Yeah, I played with it at Pepcom Digital. And, you know, it was nice. You know, the thing that sold me on it was that it's basically like the Wii U in that you can actually play your PC games through the controller.
Right.
So you can have your PC free for other things, you know. So that's a plus for me. That actually makes it the second console I'll pick up that I would pick up after I get the Xbox One, you know, because it's a handy little device. And, you know, I'm also sort of thinking about getting a Vita when it gets cheaper. Because,
yeah, I would wait for the clearance sales on the Vita at this point. It's inevitable at this point.
Well, here's the reason why is that, you know, it'll offer me all the PSN games that I don't have access to. I mean, for you, you already have a PS3. You know, you don't care about the PSN stuff. However, someone who doesn't own a Sony console, you know, it's a good way to get to play PSN games without, you know, having to buy a major console.
Well, if all you want to do is play PSN games, then wait for the Vita TV to come out and you're set.
Yeah, I don't know when that's going to happen. And besides which, you know, you already said you like it as a gadget, you know, all the stuff it comes with. The Vita TV is not going to come with that.
That's true.
Yeah. Speaking of which, this is not in the news, but I found it amusing. If you buy an Xbox One and a PS4, you can have some interesting, or if you own a Wii U, you can have some interesting combinations there, because the Xbox One, now if anybody who knows, it allows you to do picture-in-picture, right, with any HDMI signal. The funny thing is, it's very oh, what's the word I'm looking for? Agnostic about what HDMI signal comes through. So technically, you could be playing Xbox One and PS4s on the games on the same TV.
Correct. And there, you know, there's nothing in the signal that would identify it as coming from a PS4, so there's nowhere to block it even if they wanted.
I don't think they would want to block it. I mean, Microsoft didn't foolishly block Apple iOS products or Android products when dealing with Smart Glass. I mean, that's silly.
Exactly. And, you know, it would be neat, even if you're not playing a PS4 game, just the ability to watch a Blu-ray movie at the same time you're playing a game.
Or, and this is a bit sneaky, but you could do your Netflix through the PS4 instead.
Exactly.
And not have an Xbox Live Gold account.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's certain, I mean, the thing that I would do if I did have a PS4, which I don't think I'm going to get because I'm very tight on cash and I had to choose one or the other, is MLB TV, right, is free on PS3. Oh, maybe I could get an ultra-cheap PS3 and run that through on HD.
There you go.
I mean, that, by the way, relates sort of to the question of the week this week. We won't say what it is. It's a surprise. But we're going to move on to the first item. Take it away, Jordan.
Microsoft, women make up 40% of Xbox Live audience. This comes to us from GameSpot. Microsoft COO Kevin Turner has announced that during a meeting with the company's financial analysts that almost 40% of the Xbox Live audience, I don't know why they have audience in quotes, audience, in the U.S. is female, which Turner stated was a giant change since Xbox Live's debut. He went on to note that Xbox Live has 48 million members in 41 countries and 42% Xbox Live subscribers in the U.S. watch 30 hours of digitally distributed TV and movies every month. In 2012, Xbox Live delivered 18 billion hours of entertainment on a global scale. Turner noted, quote, and we're excited about the upcoming Xbox One launch. We believe we've got an incredible offering with Xbox One as it relates to multiplayer experiences and services. It's going to give you, we've wrapped a lot of entertainment.
Yeah. Marketing talk, but whatever. The thing is that I'm surprised that 40% of the Xbox Live audience is female, because I always thought it was like 95% preteen boys.
Well, and let's rephrase that. It's 40% identify as female. Whether they're actually female or not, we don't know, but they identify as female.
Well, if it's a 12-year-old boy identifying as female, don't shoot down his dreams.
I'm not going to doubt it. You can grow up to be whoever you want to be.
But so the thing is, I was doubtful about the 30 hours of digitally distributed TV until I said, oh, wait a minute, Netflix. Even I do that.
Well, yeah, Netflix. But, you know, the Netflix came out last year and said the PS3 is their number one platform for digital distribution. So I'm not sure exactly.
Microsoft also has their rental service, which is going pretty strong, too. I've rented one or two things from Xbox Live. It's kind of painless, you know.
Right.
It's attached to my TV. But the thing is that, you know, and they put quote-unquote audience in quotes because people aren't quite sure where they're getting those numbers. I believe them, you know. 40-60 split, it seems about right for a computer. You know, I just wonder how many of those women are playing games on Xbox.
Or, you know, how many of them are accounts like my wife's where, you know, it's my Xbox,
but
she has an account on it.
So essentially she's identifying as male.
She has her own Xbox Live account, but it's on my Xbox. She wouldn't have gone out and got an Xbox on her own.
Oh, I got that.
Right. But she's more than willing to have an account on mine.
But, you know, I think it's just the general mainstreaming of video games, really. I mean, and on a console as well, which is predominantly, you know, which has traditionally been very predominantly male. You know, PCs are even split. As a matter of fact, I think more women play PC games than men, simply because, you know, the PC, you know, it has the genres they like, you know. And I don't want to stereotype, but I know that a lot of casual games are played by women. That's why there's Casual Gamer Chick.
Right.
You know, hidden object games, puzzle games, games that require you to think, you know. And I mean, that's not to say there aren't the frag dolls and stuff like that. But predominantly, you know, women like adventure games, you know, stuff that stimulate their brains. That's why The Sims is so popular with women. Not because it's
apparently a lot of girls at Alan's school into League of Legends, playing League of Legends. I hear him on Skype with him all the time.
But you see, that doesn't, you see, but that's a strategy game, and that's why they would be into it. But I'm just saying, it isn't the fact that it's a virtual dollhouse that women play with The Sims 3, and it isn't because it's necessarily it's a soap opera, really, but it's more because it deals with a lot of mental stuff, you know, a lot of relationships that turn in, you know, how does this react to that, you know, and that sort of exploration of the mental space. But there is the dollhouse part, but you know,
in my wife's case, it's very much the dollhouse part. Yeah.
I do it for the dollhouse part. I have the virtual me who I managed to make immortal, although I'm trying to stop that because it's kind of odd to be younger than your grandchildren, you know. But I just can't see me dying and going into the grave. So maybe, you know, maybe I should get the underworld thing and turn myself into a vampire and just be done with it.
I know my wife built us in The Sims, and it greatly disappointed her when my Sim got old and died.
Did she cry at the grave? I like it when they mourn.
I think she did, yeah.
I like it when the Sims mourn. They just, for 2 days, they stand around and all of a sudden burst out crying, and your image appears in the little thought balloons.
Yes.
Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. And by the time this podcast comes out, you'll already know the answer to this one. Rumor, Steam Box announcement on Monday. And this comes to us from Strategy Informer. In fact, it comes from me. Valve has posted a teaser site named Living Room, which some suspect to be the prelude to the announcement of the Steam Box console that will expand the big picture function of Steam. The header on the page says, the Steam universe is expanding in 2014. And then goes on to say, last year we shipped a software feature called Big Picture, a user interface tailored for television and gamepads. This year we've been working on even more ways to connect the dots for customers who want Steam in the living room. It concludes, soon we'll be adding you to our design process so that you can help us shape the future of Steam. Basically, they're looking for people to beta test this thing. To top it off, a game can be seen on the floor with a countdown at 59 hours of the time of this article, which should be more like 24 hours. It's going to be tomorrow, I think in the afternoon.
So that's fascinating on a couple of facts. First, we've been expecting a Steam announcement for quite some time now. We expected it at E3 and it didn't happen. We've expected numerous correlations with this. The fascinating thing for me is Microsoft's announcement on the Surface 2 is tomorrow as well.
Ooh, I didn't even know that.
Mm-hmm. So I wonder if maybe there's some tie-in, some synergy here between Steam and the Surface 2. That could be fascinating.
That would sort of be like the IRA making nice with the British Army, actually.
I know. It would be fascinating.
But here's a...
Either they're doing it because there's some tie-in or they're doing it for counter-programming. It's one or the other, right?
So my main question after you mentioned that was, are you going to be able to get an upgrade, you know, a deal on upgrade since you bought your Surface? So you know, you didn't buy it exactly a long time ago.
No, I got it at the beginning of August. But from Microsoft offers different trade-in deals and stuff like that. We don't know what exactly they're going to be offering towards the Surface 2. So
you have to find out the system specs first.
Exactly, yeah.
As for the Steam Box, I have zero interest in this. I mean, I have more interest in the NVIDIA Shield, much more than the Steam Box.
Well, I think, you know, in for me, right, and I have the Surface Pro, and the Surface Pro is great, but is not, you know, a gaming-based machine. It has a Intel HD 4000 graphics card, which will play certain things, but it's not a gaming card by any stretch of the imagination, right? So if there is a Steam Box coming...
Wait, how is it in... I'm sorry. I was thinking about it was NVIDIA, you know, and like NVIDIA and Intel and something, but I guess NVIDIA and Intel. But I always thought NVIDIA was in bed with AMD, to tell you the truth.
No. NVIDIA and AMD are competitors. AMD got... yeah, exactly.
Well, I have an AMD that has NVIDIA graphics cards in it, so I say fooey to both of them. you'll play nice and because I demand it.
Yeah. But it'll be interesting to see what happens tomorrow. I mean, it could be if it is counter programming, I think the tech industry is going to explode with whatever Steam has to say, and Microsoft's announcement is going to get lost.
Yeah, but here's the thing is that I play on PC games a lot more now because I want my TV free. I don't want my PC on my TV. I have a monitor for that. I don't need it on my PC. I'm just saying that, you know, try to turn Steam into a console is a big waste of time.
So for me, I could see going for it simply because if I want to play top of the line PC games, I'd have to either use Alan's computer or not, and just not use a computer.
You still have to use a keyboard and mouse. I mean, yes, it has a gamepad.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know
how
many PC specific games require a gamepad?
About four, yeah.
I mean, if you're going to play Batman Arkham Origins and you hate a keyboard and mouse, then are you going to buy it for the PC and have to run it through through Big Picture and all that? Or are you just going to get the PS3 version and just play with that?
Yeah, well, I would get the console version, or I might wait and get the PS4 version if I'm assuming there's going to be a PS4 version.
I mean, the thing is that, Strategy Informer is heavily PC-centric. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're basically the PC defense force, as opposed to the Sony defense force. And they despise gamepads, because for some reason gamepad equals kiddies thing or something like that, So the thing is that I don't see what Valve is trying to do here. Everything they're doing, they just announced that, Linux and Mac and all this stuff. You know what they're really saying is we don't want a Windows because we can't control it, And the Windows Store was the biggest threat to them ever. They treated it like, how dare you, It's going to be interesting to see what happens when the Xbox One comes out, because Live for Windows Marketplace is closing in 2015, right?
Right.
Or is it? No, it's closing actually sooner.
I think it's closing. Yeah. I think it's closing this year, isn't it?
No, the Marketplace is closing. Is closed, I believe, and is closing. And the all of Live is going to stop on the 2015. Although I don't believe that's necessarily true. I just think it's going to be something else that's Xbox One related. Right, they're going to have some sort of Xbox One PC synergy in a different way that isn't my. I think they're going to start from scratch because I already complained about this 2 weeks ago. Microsoft dropped the ball when it came to Live and PC, and now they have to start it over again.
Right.
And that's what this is all about, really. And I'm going to tell Linux may be a wonderful operating system. I'm not using it for gaming. I don't care. I don't.
Right. It's not really a gaming platform. It's never been to a certain extent it games, but it's not. There are major driver issues with Linux, particularly with NVIDIA cards, that make it very difficult to turn it into a gaming platform.
Valve wants it to be a gaming platform so they don't have to bow to Microsoft's feet.
Right.
God is when . They're starting to complain about DirectX, which makes me giggle a bit,
Let's complain about the industry standard, yes.
Stop. They want to be Microsoft, but Microsoft's better at being a corporate behemoth than Valve will ever be. That's how Microsoft survived this long. I mean, the number of mistakes they've made, most other companies would be dead,
Right.
And they're a zombie, By the way, I picked up a rental of World War Z because I enjoyed it in the theaters. I want to see if it still translates as a silver screen, on a small TV.
I think it'd be fine as long as they didn't call it World War Z.
Well, anyways, we're going to move on to the next item, and this is going to make Jordan chuckle because this is right in his wheelhouse.
Grand Theft Auto 5 hits $1 billion in sales after 72 hours. This comes to us from Games Industry Biz. Grand Theft Auto 5 was released on Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 this past Tuesday, the 17th of September. In just 24 hours, it hit $800 million in sales, so it should be no surprise that the game on both console platforms reached $1 billion just 2 days later. To give you an idea of how fast this was, Call of Duty Black Ops 2 was the previous record holder, taking 15 days to hit $1 billion. Grand Theft Auto 5 beat it by a factor of 500%.
Yeah, so I'm going to let you go on about the massive sales of Grand Theft Auto 5. Oh, and by the way, remember I don't know if we covered this news, but remember we were talking about how Grand Theft Auto 5 cost $280 million to make, and you said that Rockstar made that back immediately in pre-orders.
Correct. Yes, yeah, they made their money back just on the pre-orders alone. What I find fascinating is that usually when you see numbers like this, right, it is retail sales only. We have no way of tabulating exactly how much of this was digital purchases because neither Microsoft nor Sony report digital purchases to anyone. So it more than likely hit $1 billion in 24 hours if you count the digital purchases as well.
By the way, we have to note that this is the fastest any entertainment medium, any entertainment medium. We're not talking just about video games, but any entertainment medium hit $1 billion in that amount of time.
Yeah, yeah. New York Times bestseller list books, they'll get there on, you know, anywhere from 10 to 20,000 copies. So, you know, it's phenomenal how much money this series is raking in.
Well, look how long it took for Avatar to reach $1 billion.
Avatar took I think it was a matter of months. It was and Titanic took almost a year, I believe, was the first film to hit $1 billion.
Yeah. So the other thing is, I went to a New York Games conference, and there was a lot of enlightening things about it. For example, digital purchases, gaming represented, and other parts of this. They included music, literature, you know, film, movies, that sort of stuff, you know. Games accounts for, in the United States, 42% of all digital purchases. 42% of all digital purchases of any sort. So that tells you how much that gaming is driving the entire digital industry.
That's true.
You know? So the conference was enlightening. I mean, actually, you know what? You know what's funny is that I greeted Michael Pachter there, and he said, "Hey, you changed your hair color." You know, so I think we're buddies.
Nice.
Yeah, I even have his phone number here. Anyways,
that's cool.
Yeah. So, but you know that I should really ask him because you know I know you're envious about of him in one particular way. And that he gets to see all the NPD data, all of it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
No longer given out. He gets to see it because his company, Wedbush Morgan, pays the $15,000 or something like that, you know?
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
So at some point, I'm going to have to ask him, you know, I can't ask him directly because that would be a violation of some sort, I think. But I can ask him about what the sales trends have been, you know?
Right.
But again, you know, that actually reminds me of what our question of the week is going to be. I hate to keep on teasing it, but, you know, there it is.
You'll just have to tune in to find out.
Okay, the next item is something that we've discussed a lot in the past when regarding the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. It's funny it's going to be popping up here, especially when it comes to games like Halo 3. But Dead Rising 3, quote, frame locked at 30 frames per second, unquote, on Xbox One. And this comes to us from Polygon. Capcom is continuing to optimize Dead Rising 3 ready for launch day for the Xbox One, and producer Mike Jones has confirmed that it is now frame locked at 30 frames per second, and the team is amidst, quote, final beta and final, quote unquote, preparations. The Gamescom 2013 demo for Dead Rising 3 suffered from technical issues when the screen became overloaded with zombies, but that version was, quote unquote, weeks old. Capcom Vancouver is a stone's throw from Microsoft's big offices, and the Dead Rising 3 team has been taking advantage of the close geography. According to Jones, if you saw it at Gamescom, we have a new drop from Microsoft literally that week, so you're seeing optimizations happening right now. We're in the midst of beta and final optimizations and polish. Absolutely, we've had the game frame locked at 30 frames per second. Dead Rising 3 releases on the Xbox One on its launch day of November 22nd. By the way, when they say frame locked, it doesn't mean that it's going to remain 30 frames per second its entire life. There's a chance it could be. But what they're saying is that we've got it so that it plays smoothly at a minimum of 30 frames per second.
I noticed, too, that they avoid saying what resolution it's running at.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be 1080p. I mean, everything coming out of both next-gen consoles is going to be 1080p natively. Actually, I think that's why they're struggling with 30 frames per second because they're going at 1080p.
Actually, the Xbox One 30 frame per second games have been running 1600 by 900. So it'll be interesting to see if they actually do that or if they ended up converting it.
But, you know, people have talked about this ever since, you know, like in Halo 3, you know, people said, oh, it's not running at 1080p or 720p or whatever. You know, people don't care. I mean, what they care about, and I've always found this more, is lighting, you know, and bump map texturing, because that's what really, you know, comes through. I mean, I've never really cared about frames per second. The only thing I care about is if it starts chugging along at 10 frames per second or something ridiculous right. like that.
Something noticeable.
You know, and that's what was happening apparently at Gamescom, was that the build that they had was not ready for it. But I'm not a pixel counter. The fun I derive from a game, I mean, I'm enjoying Fez on PC right now.
So, where you can literally count the pixels.
Basically, yeah. Or trioxels, you know, to be honest. But, you know, I mean...
But you know that there are people on NeoGAF that are going to go apeshit crazy if it's not 1080p, right? You know that's going to happen.
Well, to me, it's just, you know, releasing World War Z on Xbox One. You know, I have hundreds of zombies on the screen you have to maneuver around, and I'm perfectly happy with that.
I don't want any super zombies, and I don't want any boss fights. I just want me and a horde full of zombies. That's really all I want.
I think that's how... Isn't that how Dead Rising is? I mean, the only thing special thing is they're not zombies. They're psychopaths.
The boss fights are crazy, people. Insane, difficult level. Yeah.
Yeah, we're like a crazy clown who's snapped. The only thing I like is that they removed all the stuff that was super annoying in the first two games.
Time limits.
Also the psychopaths. I mean, there's going to be psychopaths, but they're not going to be like that anymore. No, it's more about... You know, just, and also, you know, wide open sandbox world full of zombies.
Right.
So, anyways, we're going to move on to the next item.
Sony offers fix for Grand Theft Auto 5 error, and there's a whole error code there I won't bother reading.
Oh, let me do it. Anyway, 800-29-564. Boom.
Crashing system on install from Strategy Informer. While Microsoft has had to release a guide to teach gamers how to properly install Grand Theft Auto V from retail disc to the console for those who wanted to run the game digitally, gamers who bought the game from PlayStation Network are having their own set of issues. The game install crashes with an error code of 829564. According to Sony, the error code, which appears while attempting to download a game patch, is an indicator that there has been a connection issue to the server during the download attempt. The reason for this may be down to a number of factors. Some Virgin Media consumers were experiencing this issue. However, this was subsequently identified and fixed by Virgin prior to Christmas 12. So if the issue is still persisting, there are other reasons why this may be the case.
Hold on. What the hell does Virgin Media have to do with anything?
I don't know. Yeah.
It sounds like a UK problem here.
It does sound like a UK problem. Or it might have been something tied to an ISP.
This particular thing may be UK.
Yeah. Sony has given the following suggestions for those trying to download the game. This may be down to
load on the server at the point in time.
It doesn't make any sense.
Well, this is directly quoted from Sony, so don't blame me.
I won't blame you. The quote, this may be down to load on the server at that point in time, in which case you can wait and attempt to download the file when the servers are less busy.
They're just saying,
there may be a high level of traffic caused by other internet users, so again, you may want to attempt to download it at a different time. If you continue to get the issue, you can try resetting the modem and router for a number of minutes and then restart them. Once this is done, try reestablishing a connection between the router and your PlayStation 3 from the beginning.
Wait, how is that going to help? All three of those things sounds like something your ISP tells you when you're not getting internet.
These people
are not having internet connections. They're downloading the patch that, you know, the day one patch, and it's crashing their system.
It doesn't sound like the day one patch. It sounds like they're trying to get the digital copy from the PlayStation Network.
When attempting to download a game patch, there's an indicator.
There have been a huge number of problems with the digital-only version of Grand Theft Auto V. The instructions that we talked about at the beginning, Microsoft telling people, no, you want to run the install disk and then, you know, run the game disk from disk. Don't install it to your hard drive. Because if you have data installed to the hard drive completely, it causes huge pop-in issues with the textures.
Yeah, that sounds a lot like what happened.
Same thing they were seeing with the digital copy on PlayStation Network.
Well, that's what was happening, by the way, with Halo 3. Remember? Yeah. Bungie warned people not to install it. Because basically it was a waste of time because it would go and look for another part. You know, it would be like checking the disk twice, you know. Right. So...
Yeah, what Grand Theft Auto V is designed to stream data from both the disk and the drive simultaneously, and if either piece is missing, the game just doesn't function properly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and remember, this game sold a billion, you know, so a good chunk of those was probably digital, so you have these people having those problems with it.
Yes, exactly.
Wait, you know what? I'm wondering, the thing I'm wondering is that apparently this problem is not happening with the digital Xbox 360 version. So somehow they got around that issue. And
the other thing is that downloads through PlayStation Network have always been notoriously slow. And it could be some sort of timeout issue on Sony's side. I mean, even doing something as simple as a firmware update takes for freaking ever through the PlayStation Network.
It's not only that, but it's the isn't the length of time so much on PSN updates, you know, firmware updates, as the frequency of them.
Yes, often there's a whole series of updates that have to be run before you can play a game.
So, you see the Metacritic. I think it's at 98 for Grand Theft Auto V.
I have not seen the Metacritic on it. I haven't.
One escapist, I believe, is the one person who gave it a 70 review, and partly because I'm going to say this right now. You may not be the audience for this, Jordan, because you've already expressed a distaste for having to play games in which you play loathsome characters, right?
Well, not loathsome characters. I'm not interested in mobster media in general. Oh. I'm not a fan of The Godfather or...
Yeah, this is the nth degree on that. And with tons of misogyny to boot, apparently.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a torture scene, which has gotten a lot of controversy. And then one of the characters gives a bullshit speech about how torture is not about the torture victim, but more about the torturer, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, whatever. It's sort of like in the Pokemon the movie when... The entire when Ash says that it has an anti-violence message after 2 hours of cockfighting, basically.
Drugs are bad, okay?
Yes. So, the thing about with me is that I'm probably going to skip the campaign for the most part because
you're just interested in the online part of it.
Yeah, and from what I understand, that's not active until October 1st.
Correct.
So it's like. The part that I care about, I'm getting a free copy, right? But I don't know if I'm going to even, maybe I'll play the single player just a little bit. What's funny is that the question of the week was going to play what common type of trope happens in a video game that will make you stop playing and not play it again, And nothing obvious like seeing child pornography in a game, nothing like that. I just mean... stuff that happens in the game that'll just turn you right off and not make you not want to play anymore. So you might as well answer that. It's not the question of the week, but is there anything that just turns you right off? And I don't mean mechanically, like I don't want to use a keyboard mouse. I mean content in a game. Aside from the mobsters thing, you already made that clear.
I can't say in terms of content there's something that would turn me off. I mean, there are certain gameplay mechanics that I will hit and I'll just go, yeah, I'm done. there was a comic book back in the 80s called Those Annoying Post Brothers. And there was a fantastic issue where there was this elaborate setup. They were supposed to break into a safe and they had all of these phenomenal traps in the building that they had to overcome to get to the safe. And they finally get to the safe. And they turn to each other and they say, you realize this is a trap, right? And the other brother says, well, yeah, of course it's a trap. So they spray paint on the door. We got this far and lost interest, the Post Brothers, and walked away. So I have had several games that have triggered that reaction where I got that far and no, I'm done with the game. I'm walking away. I have better things to do with my time. Then, continue beating my head against a wall.
It actually happened to me in one of my favorite games of all time, and that's Psychonauts. When I reach the meat circus, at one point, the platforming just becomes so frustrating that I just said, forget it.
Psychonauts, I couldn't even get into. I have the Xbox version of that game, and I know it's very well loved on the internet. I did not see the appeal of Psychonauts.
Did you ever get to the paranoid mailman scene?
I don't even remember.
You should get at least that far just to enjoy that scene.
I think I played like the first level and went, no, I'm done.
Oh. The thing is that I think you'd really, really enjoy the conspiracy theory milkman scene. It's just so hilarious.
Yeah.
That scene has to be experienced, at least I don't have to worry about missing the ending because I just go to YouTube and watch the ending of Psychonauts and just say, okay.
I think, for a lot of games, I didn't like Dragon Age. It wasn't one single thing in Dragon Age. It was a cumulative effect of noticing different things as we went along into the game and finally reached a breaking point. But I can't say that there was like a single content piece that would make me go, eh, I'm not done.
The one thing that's a turnoff for me in Dragon Age is just the combat, the long combat. It's just like, okay, I get it already. Can we please move on? I'm just here for the story. But you know what? The story is compelling enough because it's so tailorable. Maybe that what you don't like is not terrible. Anyways, this is neither here nor there right now. We're just derailing the entire podcast.
Right.
So we're gonna move on to listener feedback. Take it away. Oh wait.
Is this
me?
I think it's you.
Yeah, this is me. From Arthur V. I wrote a comment to this podcast. Instead of playing Grand Theft Auto 5, I should really get the VGRT reward, Reader's Award or something. So he pulled himself away from Grand Theft Auto 5.
We don't have a Reader's Award, do we?
No.
You get a special gold star, Arthur V.
No, he sent Paul Predke his t-shirt and he enjoyed it.
Okay.
You know, oh, by the way, you didn't get that. Did you read that? And, you know, he got it and he likes it. And
good.
Cost me $15 to send it to him.
Oh, that's all right.
Well, he's all the way in the middle of Poland.
Yeah.
So anyways, at EA CEO, I'm in the camp who hates Electronic Arts by default. I still bear a grudge for them ruining Oddworld, Strange's Wrath, and Marvel Nemesis.
I still blame them for killing Thrill Kill.
It was an AO rated game. Come on.
It never came out. They killed it. Virgin had it done. It was ready to go.
Yeah, well, you know what? Some things are best left dead. And sometimes dead is better.
That was an awesome game.
Did you Thrill Kill, or are you talking about the movie?
Thrill Kill.
Oh, I was talking about the movie Pet Cemetery.
Oh, okay.
That was a line from it. Sometimes dead is better. It'll never change regardless of who runs it, but I do enjoy Battlefield, and I'm looking forward to Battlefront. I'm assuming you mean Star Wars Battlefront.
I expect so,
yes. Yeah, so I am glad that some guy got replaced by another guy, and I hope he will take the company in a bold new direction out of the shit pit it's in. By the way, we never discussed this with you. The guy who they replaced is actually a native Australian, and he's only 39 years old.
I heard something about that. I'm just amused at the phrase shit pit.
Yeah. But, you know, he ran Electronic Arts since I think he was 20. Well, he was a part of Electronic Arts since he was 25, and he ran EA Sports. Now, think about it. You're the CEO of a multi-billion dollar company at age 39.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a big deal.
A little bit of envy there.
That's 5 years younger than me.
And it's a little bit of envy there. You know, I wish I was. I could probably run the Electronic Arts better than him, you know. So at Sega buys Atlus. Never heard of Atlus. Really? But I don't expect Sega to get back in the console race. At the moment, the competition is cutthroat in the market. Even an established brand like Nintendo can't survive. Maybe Sega wants to expand its TV add-on business. They did release little boxes that have a bunch of classic Sega games plugged into your TV. Either that or they want more MMOs. Atlus doesn't do MMOs.
Well, first off, it wasn't Sega that bought Atlus. It was Sega Sammy Holdings, which is the
And they bought Index, we know. But you know what? Exactly, it's the same thing, really.
Yeah. Well, it's not the same thing. You're not going to have Sega's gaming division making choices for Atlus.
No.
Atlus is just reporting to the same corporate parent that Sega does.
But you know what? The thing is that Sega is abandoning console. They're going whole hog into PC. I mean, with Creative Assembly and all that stuff. I mean, they rented out on a permanent basis their former flagship character to Nintendo, for crying out loud.
They did announce Phantasy Star Nova, though. So, you know, they are still doing Vita development.
Is that an MMO or is it just another?
It is a single player offline MMO that somehow ties into Phantasy Star Online 2, if you have that. Mm-hmm. There's been no announcement for an American release. It's all Japanese release. Came out of Tokyo Game Show. Yeah.
Well, we know how Sega,
it'll be out next year.
We know how Sega treats its American audiences when they have the Japan only MMOs and stuff.
Exactly, yeah. But, you know, Atlus, for those that don't know, is probably their biggest series was Persona.
And also, Persona more recently, they also became very big because of Catherine.
Catherine as well, yeah.
I mean, the thing about Atlus, though, is that they're getting heavy into Kickstarter. They're buying up Kickstarter properties left and right. So is 505 Games, and I think that's what mid-level publishers are doing now. Is they're starting to snap up all these indie games and selling them and promoting them. I mean, 505 Games took games like Terraria, you know, and they just, one of them, And also Deep Silver 2. I think, isn't Deep Silver doing the distribution in Europe for Wasteland 2?
I don't know.
I think they are. Yeah, they are. Because Brian Fargo had to, quote unquote, apologize to fans who wondered why they were letting a publisher touch their game. You know, he says, well, look, distribution is hard. We're doing physical media here. You know, we need something to do it.
Exactly, yeah.
Anyways, at To Mediocrity and Below. Star Trek had a reboot, and I didn't even notice. I always thought that Star Trek needed a reboot. It's a very long-running franchise, but I would have condensed contemporary version of the original series, not a movie where there's more shooting than actual trekking. I don't mind an action Star Trek. I just don't want it to be stupid. That's
right.
You know, I mean,
well, and you heard all the controversy over the Blu-ray, right? I mean, no, that was just crazy.
I've not.
So the new Star Trek movie is coming out on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And
well,
they,
already out. It, I mean, Star Trek Into Darkness is on the shelves, isn't it?
It's on the shelves. But in the run-up to it coming out, right, they announced that all of the different background features and all the stuff that makes all the fanboys go, ooh, yay! If you buy the disc anywhere other than Walmart or Target, you just get a plain Jane disc with, like, yeah, you know, the Entertainment Tonight type background material. Okay. Both Target and Walmart have a disc which features an exclusive 30 minutes of background material. Both discs are completely different from each other. So there
so
is.
You have to do a collector's disc with two discs from two different companies. It's
correct.
Retailers, huh?
None of the three versions, the standard retail disc, the Target disc, or the Walmart disc, contains a commentary track. If you want the commentary track, you've got to buy the digital-only version from iTunes. So in order to get the full, you know, Star Trek Into Darkness experience, right, you have to buy three discs. You have to buy the Target disc, the Walmart disc, and the online copy from iTunes.
You have to
iTunes.
Buy a digital copy, okay.
Exactly.
Oh, this is why I love Criterion, you know?
Yeah.
Criterion rules, because they give you everything and then some.
Yes.
So, and by the way, just so you know, for those of you who don't know them, they were doing Laserdiscs with all the bonus features long before DVDs even existed.
Correct.
And also, you know, the funny thing is that they did commentaries first. And I remember on Siskel and Ebert that they were talking about the fact that it had commentaries on the War of the Roses. And they had Danny DeVito's commentary, you know, and it was like one scene, he says, oh, I can't believe how fat I look there. You know, that sort of thing, you know, and it was sort of like, you know, it's really interesting to hear the director talk about the thing. You know, now it's just a standard feature, right?
But, exactly, yeah.
But, you know, let me put it this way. Criterion was the number one and probably only reason to own a Laserdisc player.
Well, and they made versions of the films that were the highest quality you could get on Laserdisc, right? They were all CAV formatted and just looked gorgeous. They were also, you know, $120 for that movie. But
here's the thing, though. It's also the only place where a lot of fans got a digital crisp version of the original Star Wars before any editing was from the Star Wars Laserdisc.
Yeah, that was me. It wasn't Criterion, but yeah.
No, it wasn't Criterion, I know, but it was still, you know. At Your Daddy's Credit Card Can No Longer Beat Diablo. Just recently, I started playing the second Diablo with a friend. I love it. Fast-paced combat, many locations, and lots of loot. I also played the Xbox 360 demo, and it was good, but not as good as Diablo 2. Combat was way too slow. On the account of Auction House, I completely do not care if it is there or not. I am the type who can spend hours grinding monsters to get a good monster item. Monster Hunter eats my life. Okay.
I feel the same way. I just don't like clicking on a mouse for combat. I hate clicking on a mouse for combat.
Well, guess what? You no longer need to do that.
I no longer need to do that, and that's why I'm already up to Chapter 4 on Diablo 3.
So here's the thing. Now, did you play Diablo 2?
I have it. I can't say I really played
so
it.
You didn't really get deep into the Diablo games, right?
No.
Okay, so now...
I hate the point-and-click interface. So,
now that... You're playing it with a gamepad. How much of the thrill and excitement are you realizing that previous Diablo players had when playing now?
Well, you know, to me, for somebody who's been gaming 3/4 of their life, right, it's not that exciting simply because it's just another Gauntlet clone.
Well, here's the thing. People who played the first Diablo thought the same thing.
Yeah.
And then they got hooked. And then they got hooked. And then they got hooked. And without realizing it, they've been indoctrinated.
It's a Skinner box, like any kind of game of this ilk. And there have been a number of games that have hooked me similar to this, like Phantasy Star Online.
It's a roguelike, but the thing is, you're not playing Diablo 2, right? Diablo 2 was the roguelike that was polished to a fine sheen and then polished some more.
Right.
You know, it was that good.
There have been a number of games like this done on consoles prior. Champions of Norrath is probably the biggest one.
I would suggest to you is Baldur's Gate, Dark Alliance 2.
Dark Alliance 2 and Dark Alliance 1, yes.
Alliance 2 is a little bit better, obviously.
I have one of those two. I've played through one of those two. I can't remember.
I have number 2 because it's backwards compatible on the 360.
Right, there's one that was backwards compatible and one that was not.
The second one was backwards compatible. The first one is not. I still have the original Xbox. If I really wanted to,
I even have Fallout Brotherhood of Steel.
Oh,
so,
the thing about Dark Alliance 2 though, it's almost impossible to find. I had to go on eBay for that thing.
Huh?
It is hard to find.
I think I have it sitting on my shelf.
If you wanted it at the time, sure.
Yeah.
Anyways, question of the week. I won't answer last week's question because it's all the same. If it's all the same, I live by the Russian rule of, quote, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's sort of like Chekhov saying that William Shakespeare was better in the original Russian. You know?
Yes.
So I got a DSi because my original DS was falling apart. My Xbox 360 crashes every 2 hours, but I won't get a new one as I don't tend to play the same game more than 2 hours anyway. I will only get a new hardware if I don't already have it. Crashing every 2 hours? Really?
Yeah, it sounds like he's got a heating problem there he might want to look at.
It sounds like he's playing a launch 360 too.
Could be.
I mean, but, you know, there's no point in buying a new 360 at this point unless they really drop the price because, you know, it's around the corner. So if you – although the other thing is it's not backwards compatible. By the way, one thing I noticed you know what? That's part of the question week, so I'm not going to say anything yet. But I will note that there's a shit ton of software coming out for the current gen in the next few months.
There is, yes.
So
I'm interested. There's a lot of it that is going to be duplicated on the next generation.
Yeah, I'm talking about stuff that's not coming out of next gen, though. Like Batman Arkham Origins, for one. But that's not what I'm talking about because that's coming out in a month. Oh, geez, I really want to play Batman Arkham Origins. Everything
I know,
it's
coming. It's all coming so very quickly.
It's the achievements were released too.
I'm still waiting on Tearaway. Tearaway is the big one that I'm
waiting for.
Here's
the thing: according to the achievements, this is the first time Batman ever meets the Joker in this game.
Hmm.
So there's that. So anyways, we're going to move on to the next reader email. Go ahead, Jordan.
From Alpha Shard, first I want to wish Jordan a speedy recovery from his hospital stay. I hope it wasn't too serious. You would think it wouldn't be serious, but I've actually in and out of the hospital 3 times last week. So hopefully I'll be able to stay out. I'll know more tomorrow, but I still have an IV stuck in my hand, so... Yeah. It was nice to hear Dan on the show again. I will have to go back and listen to that. It's always lovely to hear from Dan. Dan helped me test my new microphone when I got it all hooked up.
Just
and
a side note. Paul was going to do it, but he could only do it for 45 minutes.
Gotcha.
So maybe next time I'll take him up if he's going to do it. Because Paul's also very popular with the fans out there, too.
45 minutes with Paul goes a long way, too. So,
that
you know, that
an
would
insult.
Be...
Just...
You get your full, you know, entertainment per minute when you're talking to Paul.
Yeah.
At EA Change, just Googling to see a long history of game series ruined. They have built a reputation that may be irreparable at this point. I know I'll be getting Sims 4 for my wife, and this change, I hope, does bring better games. The reputation, however, is well-earned one.
Hold on one second. You know, people keep on saying it has a ruined reputation. Yeah, but then you keep buying their games. What kind of ruined reputation is that?
I don't see it as ruining the reputation of a game. I see it as they snap up properties and then just let them die.
Well, that's, you know, Activision, actually. Activision does that a lot.
Activision does that too, but you know, we have EA to blame for the lack of any new Ultima games, you know. And even if you look at EA's own properties, they just seem to just let stuff die, and I don't know why. You know, so much value in EA's back catalog that they just,
you know what,
don't seem to want to
EA
do.
EA and Activision work on opposite spectrums. Then you're claiming that EA lets stuff die. Activision just beats things to death until, you know, they just milk that cow until the cow dies. You know, look at Guitar Hero. look at Call of Duty for one thing. They are.
I would be more than happy to give EA some money for a new Archon game, and you know, they just. They don't seem interested. I don't know why.
Someone tried to do a Kickstarter for Battle Chess, but it didn't get through.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you'd think somebody at EA would be like, you know, like, I like money.
The thing is that EA did milk some of its old franchises until John Riccitiello walked through the door. I mean,
right.
You know, the thing is that, you know what I would love to see? And it's, you know, it'd probably be a digital. And that's one of the great things about digital titles is that they're cheap to make, cheap to sell, and they sell a ton. So it's sort of like getting your bang for your buck without too much effort. Is I would love to see him redo Adventure Construction Set.
Adventure Construction Set would be fun. Mail Order Monsters would be fun.
We already down this list, but I'm talking about Adventure Construction Set. Make your own RPG and then distribute it among friends.
Yeah.
In this digital age, okay?
Oh, yeah. Make your own adventure game for Facebook.
Here's the thing is that in this day and age, suppose they released an updated version of Adventure Construction Set and open up the toolbox so people could the source code. Can you imagine how many RPGs that people would come up with within like 2 weeks? That's what Microsoft, by the way, is counting on with Project Spark.
Right. Know? Yeah, it would be incredible. It really would be.
The problem with EA is that if they can't monetize it, they don't want to know it. You know,
right.
They think we release Adventure Construction Set. How could we get monetized? You know, into all these things that people make. You know, it's like, come on, just do it. People will buy the game, and they will buy enough of it that you'll make a profit out of it. You know.
Right.
And every you know, all you have to do is every standalone RPG will just have the EA logo pop on before everything else moves up. Anyways, moving on.
At Diablo Auction House, I think the more games that abandon the pay-to-win mechanic, the better for quality games. I would tend to agree with that. There's a fine line between pay-to-play, free-to-play, and pay-to-win.
Unfortunately, people are finding out that people would just rather buy hats.
Yeah, that's true.
I'd like to end this. Come on.
I'd like to end this with a question for you guys. Ooh, a question for us. I'm trying to figure out what is the best console for a family to play on, and so far that does seem to be the Nintendo franchise. Xbox and PlayStation seem very heavily focused on first-person shooter and other 3D games. My wife gets motion sickness from 3D gaming, can only play side scrollers and the like. Also, I heard you saying how split screen is dead, so I'm wondering what to do when you have people that want to play the same game on the same console at the same time.
Well, here's the thing about Microsoft and Sony is that they're trying to get that family market too. So you don't, you know, here's a suggestion for you. Rayman Legends. It's available on all platforms. It's all same player. And it's basically Super Mario, you know, but done very, very Frenchy.
I don't know how well that correlates to multiplayer, though. I mean, you could trade off in the old school way of doing multiplayer. Somebody dies, and it's the next person's turn.
And the upcoming Kinect, one of its big things is it's able to recognize six people at once now, you know?
Right?
And able to follow them around. So if you switch positions, it's like, no, I know where you are. I know where you are. You know, that sort of stuff. Reading someone's what someone looks like, their face. That, I mean, it's sort of creepy from a machine. Every iteration of Kinect keeps on making me think that Microsoft's going to unload Skynet on us.
Right.
You know, and it's going to decide that it doesn't need people to play games, just two robots. Oh wait, that's GLaDOS. Okay, never mind.
Wow, we are having such a huge rainstorm. I can actually hear it through my headphones
last
right now.
Night,
you can probably pick it up on my microphone.
I don't hear it, but last night we allegedly had a huge, a massive thunderstorm outside last night, and I slept through it, which is disappointing because one of my favorite things to do is listen to rainstorms. You know, while I'm in bed.
I love that.
Yeah.
But you know, when you're talking about family gaming and getting around the console to all play the same game. You know, I think it depends on the age of the family members you're talking about. If you're talking about kids, say, you know, under puberty age, definitely a Nintendo console is the way to go. It's the only kid-friendly console out there.
Well, if you're talking about preschool kids, I would suggest the Xbox 360 with the Kinect because Tim Schafer made some great kids games that are intended for the preschooler set. I mean, Happy Fun Time Theater and their Sesame Street games. those are really good. But I don't think he's talking about that age of kids.
Right, right. You know? Yeah, I'm not sure. And again, you know, when it comes to motion sickness, my wife gets that as well. Mm-hmm. She really can't play any of the 3D games. She enjoys watching me play the third person games like Assassin's Creed. But when it came to Diablo, she actually will not allow me to play the game by myself. So, you know, that is any kind of top down game. Well, seems appropriate.
Again, if you like to play side scrollers, Rayman Origins. Just saying right now, it's one of the best games of the year that no one's really talking about.
Rayman Origins and Rayman Legends.
Legends, I'm sorry, game. I meant Legends, yeah. Origins too. But yeah. Legends is the one I'm thinking about because that's the one that's on multiple platforms, and I think it's going to be on next-gen consoles.
And they're both dirt cheap. I mean, yeah.
Not Legends yet. Oh, well, actually, Legends is at a budget price. I think it's $39.99, but
yeah.
I mean, Rayman Origins, I believe, is even lower. And, you know, I'm still playing that.
I've seen Rayman Origins on sale for as little as $12. Yeah. So, yeah.
So, anyways, the question of the week is, when will the current generation of consoles discontinue? And I don't mean the Wii or the Wii U. I mean the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3.
The Wii U is technically next generation. So, you know,
but that's already dying. So it's like.
Yeah, it's already dying. The Wii is already dead. So we're talking specifically PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360.
Get myself a GameCube.
You know, it's a good question as to when they will die out.
Because the reason why I'm asking this is because Michael Pachter had a video on game trailers, which I did not look at. All I know is that he talks about when he thinks the next current generation. I think in 2 years. I
would say 2 years is a fair bet. Yeah.
Although, 2015. You know what? That would be 10 years. It could be that they might stretch it out a little bit. Well, it depends on what you consider discontinuing. Let's consider the Sony and Microsoft discontinue support. Okay, I think that would be 2 years. Maybe
I think Sony and Microsoft support will actually continue. What's going to happen is developer support is going to dry up and blow away.
Because you have sports games, and sports games go on for years. I mean, the last PS2 game was released in 2004 or 2005. You know,
yeah, but when you only have like two games coming out a year, that console is dead. It's EA is going to make Madden for everything, but. Yeah, if Madden's the only thing coming out for it, it's still a dead console.
I think in 2 years, as the last. The thing is that, like I said before, I saw some of the software that's coming out exclusively for current gen and not for next gen, and it's pretty good. And I know why, too. It's because certain developers said, no, we've been developing this current gen game for a long while. We're not going to stop now just to make it right for the next gen. We're going to continue with the current gen because the current gen is still going to have a big install base because not everybody's going to get those next gen systems.
Well, exactly. You're dealing with, you know, 70 million established console sales versus, you know, 5 million of whatever the new machine is.
Well, the other thing is that people are going to be, you know, you know, there's going to be a market because people aren't going to want to always have to, feel like they're left out just because they hadn't shelled out for a new console. And I think we're going to see people buying, you know, people deciding which console to get like a year from now.
What you'll see on the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360 is standard developer support dropping off. An increase in developer support from shovelware companies that turn out crap really quickly. And then the year that end up finally dying, you will see, you know, anywhere from 20 to 50 releases. And then that's it. That'll be the end.
I wonder, though, one of the games that's coming off of 360 is World of Tanks. And I'm wondering if there's going to be an influx of free-to-play games on the new
console. There could be an influx of free-to-play games, absolutely.
You know, because here's the thing, is that you have an old console, right? And you say, I want to buy a game for it. I just bought this old console. I want to buy a game for it. Oh, look, there's games you can play for free. And you don't even need Xbox Live Gold or PSN Plus that you can play. It's just free.
Yeah, there are a lot. There's an entire generation of gamers who are perpetually behind the curve. They don't buy a console until it hits the magical $100 price point. And you will see, you know, an uptick in sales when that happens.
You know what's funny is that you have an entire generation of consoles, thanks to the length of the seventh generation, who have never known anything but Xbox 360 and PS3.
Yeah.
You know, there are teenagers who never even knew another console existed.
That's true.
makes you feel old, but you know. Anyways, look for our show notes at gamingpodcast.net along with industry news and our gaming history article. If you enjoy your feedback, so leave us a comments at gamingpodcast.net. Also, hit us up at facebook.com/gamingpodcast and the forums at gamingpodcast.net/forum, or send your comments to fans@gamingpodcast.net. You can also check out our gaming news at gamestudio.com. Also, subscribe to us on iTunes and leave some iTunes comments.
Yay, iTunes comments!
So, it'll be, you know, maybe if you're not around next week, I'll have Paul come in and, you know.
I'm planning on being around, but it depends on what my doctor says, you know.
Yeah.
If they tap me on the shoulder and say, hey, you come with us, you kind of have to go with them.
Well, hopefully it isn't a guy in a black cloak and a scythe. See, that's the thing. You know, the thing is that if Paul says he only has 45 minutes, I wonder if we could accommodate him and just, you know, let him leave after 45 minutes.
I would love to hear Paul for 45 minutes. I would listen to Paul do anything for 45 minutes.
Okay, then. With that creepy note, we'll leave you. See you next week. See you next week.
See you next week.